So for the third time in the last four episodes, we've got a repeat guest on. This time, this guest has a new lease on life because he recently survived a stroke. That's what we're talking about in this episode with Andrew Denman. Welcome to Burnham Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Burnham.
Okay.
Just don't. They say never meet your heroes, right? And not that those guys were my heroes.
I met mine.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've talked about him some, but I was eating lunch with Jennifer on Broad Street over here at John Henry's.
Okay.
And there's that new local pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about him?
I guess. They're like inviting people to church and stuff these days.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, Jennifer, that's John Lovell. She's, I don't even know who that
people
is.
People know who John is.
Yeah.
So Jennifer doesn't, but everybody else does.
My wife doesn't. But I jump up from the table. I think this was just after a knee surgery.
Ugh.
But I didn't care.
You guys going to compare knee surgery scars?
I'm going to compare my other medical adventure to him here in just a minute. So I run outside. I'm like, excuse me, are you the warrior poet? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I follow you on your socials, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay. And we shook hands and talked for just a minute. Mm-hmm. That's like back when they were trying to find a place here in Rome to plant a church.
Yeah.
To actually have their meetings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was cool because he is who you expect him to be.
Yeah.
He is who he is on socials.
By all accounts, he's that guy.
He's a really cool guy from what I could tell.
I don't know. I wonder how that goes. He's got a million followers on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
but he's not on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like we're getting into like a new kind of famous these days.
Mm-hmm.
So people that are famous on YouTube are like niche famous.
Right.
So I wonder how often, I wonder how often people run up to him and go, hey, you're the warrior poet. Take a picture. Like whatever.
Jennifer says, you completely fangirled. And I'm like, oh yeah.
I mean, I've never met him.
He's a really cool dude.
I saw him. They were meeting here on Broad for a while and I would see him like every Sunday, but either he was in his car or I was in mine or he was two blocks away and I was like, hey, that's John, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people that know him. Never met him. Seems like a cool guy.
Right.
Yeah.
PJ thinks highly of him.
PJ does think highly of him. Talks about him a lot.
Yeah.
Got into it on his episode. Two episodes back. 143. Go check it out.
I think that highly of my pastor, but I don't know that I talk about him as often.
Let's not talk about him at all.
I love my pastor.
No. He lives next door to my in-laws.
He's
a solid
dude. Awesome
guy. Yeah. Had to get on him once, though. I pulled up in their driveway, and he's out there, like, getting after it with, like, a shovel and a pick, and he's doing whatever it is he's doing.
Oh, this dude cuts the grass with shit.
He does. His yard is immaculate. But this was a Sunday.
Oh.
And I was like, Pastor, is your ox in a pit? And he was like,
yeah.
Didn't realize I was there. You know, no matter of fact, it is. You want to pick up a shovel and come help me? And I was like, no way.
Really.
Sunday, what are you doing?
My ox is not in a pit.
Yeah, my ox is in great shape. But, yeah, he's a great guy. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know, circles and
ships in the
timing and whatnot. But, yeah, I could get by and see him, though. We were talking quite a bit at one point.
He loves people.
He does. He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah, he just loves people.
Yeah. Which is what you want in a pastor.
Out of his job.
What a pastor's supposed to be. Right. I struggle with that sometimes.
It's okay.
Yeah.
All we ask is you do your best.
No, we don't. It's got to be better than that. My best is as filthy rags, though. So there's that. But
there's that.
Yeah. But you're here.
I'm here.
You're back again. This is number five for you? Five, six? How many times have you been on here?
I was thinking like three or four, but it may be five.
Well, we had the one that we split into two episodes.
Yeah.
So that was the one. And then you've been here with the panel twice.
Yeah.
And then you were on an episode just before we started doing video about this time last year.
How do you remember all that? See,
man,
you're really good with
they're all in there. It's the weirdest thing. I got like every episode, not the most recent one because I'm not done listening to it yet.
Okay.
But usually I've listened to them.
So you do listen
times.
To your work.
I do. I have to.
Okay.
So I go back and I nitpick it and I go, oh, you talk like a redneck and you slur and you.
Well, it's because we are rednecks.
Yeah, I know. And I fight it because I don't need to sound like an idiot, you know. The idiot is like
Why
my word of the night.
This today?
I don't know.
You just accept who we are.
Yeah. I listen to me talk and I ask myself if I would listen to me talk. Like, would you subscribe to that? Is that something that.
There's a house full of people who come and listen to you once a week.
I mean, there is.
Now, they're not necessarily listening to you for you.
Yeah, but they're listening to me the same, though. Like, it's my voice and my words. Yeah. And, you know, God bless them. I'm just glad they show up every Sunday. But, yeah, so I do. I listen to all of the episodes, and I split them into YouTube shorts in my mind and, you know, all kinds of things. And I don't know why I can remember all these things, but this is, let's see, where are we at? 25th. This episode will be the one-year anniversary episode of going to video.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to put like a little popper thing in there.
Again?
Yeah, again. Yeah, we're just celebrating. We hit 150 episodes, two episodes back.
That's cool.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it snuck up on me. I didn't even realize it at the time. And now this is a year that we've been doing video. Holy smokes. First episode was Adam Colson, number 105.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I'm never good at recalling numbers, but I'm on tonight. What do you got, Tango?
I was just going to say, I'm going to change the song on you.
Don't change the song. If you're going to change the song, change it back to the one I had before. We can't get that one, though, can we? Because it didn't belong to us.
I can't find it.
You can't.
It's on Anchor.
Tango giggle, but it's hilarious.
Oh, he chuckles like a child.
Yeah.
But no, the song was from Anchor when I was recording over there. It was one of the free 30-second bits they gave you or whatever. Something similar. I don't know. We can change the song. We've changed a bunch of things over the 4 years, 5 years we've been doing this. April 4th will be 5 years that we've been recording, period.
We've been doing this for a while. Yeah.
Holy smokes. This turned into the history of Burnham Podcast. Not my idea. We were going to talk about the history of Andrew Denman, and we will.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But presently, in the now, you're here. Right.
Yes, I'm here, and you're here.
We are. We're here together again. Tango's here. Those of you guys watching and listening are not here, but you're kind of here. We got to get a camera on Tango one of these days.
Get the pip, the picture in a picture.
Ooh, that's spicy. Can we do that? Eventually. Lots of things we're going to do eventually. So, you know, so eventually we'll get around to talking about you in this podcast.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind talking about me.
Well, that's why
I've had quite an adventure this year.
You have had an adventure this year, and everybody always asks when they come on the podcast, what are we going to talk about? And I said, I'm going to talk about you, man.
That's cool.
I'm not going to ask you any questions that you don't already know the answer to because it's about you.
Right, it's about me.
So, yeah.
Well, so I've been trying to make things not about me.
Well, you know.
And I'll get around to that.
Yeah. For the purposes, though, of this conversation, it's about you.
Yeah, it is. A little bit. So, starting like late October, November last year, I noticed that I had like serious thirst all the time. If I would talk to somebody in the ambulance for just a few minutes, like by the end of that call, I would be completely dry mouthed. I'd have to drink like a half a gallon of water. And then, you know what happens when you drink lots of water? You have to get rid of lots of water.
Right.
So, those are two of the polys that are significant indicators for diabetes.
Mm.
So I wasn't really putting the puzzle pieces together and didn't know. So 12 days after my 46th birthday, so this was December 30th, I was watching Riley play video games, and I stood up to go get in my bed, and my whole right side was just kind of fuzzy numb.
Ooh.
And I was like, man, that's just weird. Cause it like I stood up and not that I couldn't feel it. I just loss of fine motor control.
Right.
And, I went to walk through the house and I reached out to hold on to the poles in my living room as I walk or the columns as I walked across. And I'm like, man, that feels weird.
Yeah.
So then it hit me. Hey, Ning-a-ling, you are having a stroke.
Wow.
Because it was sudden and it affected my speech too, so I was slurring my words real bad.
Yeah,
and I got the wife up and said, "Hey, call your mom. We got to go to the hospital." And then I called one of the supervisors at the ambulance service I work for. I'm like, "Is anybody close to my house down here?" And she said, "No, everybody's in their station."
Mm.
I said, "Well, then I'm going myself. I'll be at the ER in just a few minutes."
Yeah,
and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I told her, "I said I think I'm having a stroke." So we loaded up, left Riley with grandmom. And shot for the hospital. I got to call in a stroke alert on myself, which that's a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
How many people do that?
I mean, very few.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I really believe that if I hadn't had the training and experience and all this extra like stroke specific training
right.
that I wouldn't have noticed. And I probably would have just, oh, that's, you know, that's whatever.
I'm really tired or some excuse. Yeah.
I would have made an excuse for it for sure. But I went on to the hospital and they tested my blood sugar and it was almost 600. And so after.
I'm not an expert, Andrew, but that ain't good.
No, that's really high.
Yeah.
Normal blood sugar is like 80 to 120. And mine was actually 585. So it was bad.
Yeah.
A couple of nurses who are friends of mine took care of me there in the hospital. And pretty much as quick as they started treating my blood sugar and getting it down, the symptoms started to resolve. So I didn't start walking normally again, but I didn't have the, felt like I was reaching through oil instead of just air.
Yeah.
So I could kind of start making things work again. The speech slurring started to improve. Everything got a little bit better immediately and then has continued to get better over time.
So how long a time frame are we talking about from you stand up and realize that your right side is kind of shut down until you receive first treatment?
Probably 90 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of waited around for a little bit, for 10 minutes to see, look, if this is getting better, it's not such a big deal. Still going to the hospital.
Right.
But not going right now. But when it didn't get any better, we went on to the hospital. So from when I noticed it, about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. So how long was it before, between the time you got your first treatment and then you started seeing improvement? I know you said almost immediately, but like what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Probably two hours, three hours more after that. They sent me for an MRI. Oh, no, for a CAT scan first. And the CAT scan didn't show it, but the MRI did. It came back. Let me finish telling you about it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The high blood sugar. Blood sugar in the body tends to, or sugar in the body causes inflammation.
Right.
If you didn't already know that. And then when the sugar, when you're systemically inflamed, when your whole body's inflamed, my brain was inflamed as well. And so what my doctor and I have pretty much come up with is that my brain swelled. And when it did, it pinched off or clamped off the capillaries and four little spots in my brain stem.
Okay.
And it just happened to be the ones that control speech and the little areas. So when they sent me for the MRI, that when those results came back, the doctor was like, oh, yeah, here. You got that right here it is. I can see it.
All the markers.
Yeah. Spent 5 days in the hospital. Some of my amazing brothers from West Rome came and took great care of us. All my guys were praying for us. And I think that really made a huge difference and impact.
Prayer works, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes
prayer changes us, and sometimes praying for somebody else changes.
Sure.
God listens to us, I think.
He does.
So we spent 5 days in hospital, came home and went to physical therapy, and my employer has been phenomenal through this whole thing, just supportive and whatever you need. Now, here's the kicker. I didn't have I can't think of the name of it right now, family medical leave. Because I'd only been at this employer for 11 months.
Right, yeah.
So, and I only had a little bit of PTO, which stands for prepare the others, because I'm going to be out. So I only had a little bit of PTO, and I used it up, but they have been phenomenal. They've let me work where I can and get some hours in just so that I'm not completely.
But you're not back on the ambulance yet.
No, I'm not back to the ambulance, but I'm cleared to go back to full duty.
Okay.
So I can go back to work. We're making sure that my body can stand up to the rigors of EMS.
Tough job. Well, I was going to come back to that. People who don't know, you're a paramedic, ambulance driver. What are you? Other names for that? Yeah. that's a tough job, though.
It is. It's a lot of mental and it's a lot of physical work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're carrying people, maybe up or down stairs or an embankment or all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be sharp. Like, make sure you're good. I guess you're clear. They say you're clear. They know more about it than I do, but, like, you know.
Well, the doctor said I can go back.
That's good enough for me.
I have to learn to trust this body because it's different now. Mm-hmm. My brain's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So, we're just waiting
on
that thing.
You've lost 66 pounds?
I've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Part of that's the new medications that I'm taking to control my diabetes.
Right.
But everything's going, I mean, that's going really well.
Yeah.
God has been favorable to me.
Yeah.
Through all of this.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind. And dude, just the guys that have been around me, helping to hold me up and prop me up through prayer and just brotherhood and fellowship has made a huge difference.
Yeah, for sure.
I used to tell this awful joke about strokes. I'd look at somebody and go, "What's the one thing you can't say with a straight face?"
"I'm having a stroke."
"I'm having a stroke." Well, now I've had one, so I can really say it.
You can make the joke now, right? That's terrible. You ought to be ashamed.
I'm not. There's no shame left in me.
You can play the card now, right?
Right. I'm a member of the club.
My mom had a stroke in September of 22.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays that card all the time.
Does she?
We'll say, "Mom, you're supposed to do so-and-so." She's like, "I had a stroke."
Yeah, I got that kind of stroke brain. All right. It's like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're with it, man. You seem like you're cognitively, here. And
I notice things that most other people don't pick up on. Like I can still, the biggest concern for me right now is like if I go to run to get out of the way of a vehicle sliding at me on, for instance, on an ambulance call.
Yeah.
I could, sometimes my right foot doesn't pick up real well.
Yeah.
But it's getting better.
Yeah.
Just every once in a while. It's one of those things where if it doesn't pick up for one step and it doesn't get down in time for the next step.
Yeah, so, you're on your face on the asphalt, and that's not fun, right?
Yeah, I was taught very early not to become another victim.
Add to the count.
Right.
Yeah. But, so it's been, let's see, right now it's March the 25th.
It's been almost 3 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
What was your, what were they telling you as you were in there? Like how long until you got all your faculties back?
We didn't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Because everybody's stroke is different.
Right.
A lot of folks don't recognize their stroke early enough or they're in denial.
Yeah.
That's not really a stroke symptom. So they wait. And the longer you wait, the worse off your stroke becomes.
Right.
So, but I recognized it immediately and went to the hospital and had it taken care of. Well, now,
that would have gotten a lot of people, though. Like you said, you're training. Yeah. You understand. It's a matter of you being honest with yourself at that point.
Right.
This is bad.
And paramedics are notorious for being stubborn about getting medical treatment.
Mechanics don't work on their own cars.
Right.
That kind of thing. And I can see where you could, enough to say, mm-hmm. Well, that seems like an issue, but I bet it's probably just this other thing.
Right.
Whatever.
It could be any of these things.
Yeah, right.
And it's never the worst thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, this was the worst thing.
The worst thing, yeah.
Oh, but I'm really amazed, though, just the way my body has healed, and I'm really, when I say that I'm fortunate, I'm not laying in a bed, unable to take care of myself, and I'm not underground.
Yeah.
Now, how I believe.
Yeah.
To be with Jesus is gain.
Sure.
And so I that's not something that I'm not striving for.
We all want to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die.
I just want to go today.
Yeah.
Right. But it was a fearful situation.
I'm
for
sure.
A while. And then,
kind
of scared Riley and Jen.
So how have they been through all this?
They've been really good. Riley's been connected to me at the hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just.
So Riley was in, I guess, the midst of his first ever wrestling season while this is going on, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. We walked into a couple of tournaments and I'm still walking on a cane just for support.
Yeah.
And what happened, man? What happened to you? I had a stroke.
Mm.
You had a stroke over Christmas and you're already.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing, right?
Yeah, it is.
You just never know. Like you said, everybody's stroke is different. And I guess there are different types of strokes on top of that.
There are. There's hemorrhagic strokes, which is one where you have a blood vessel rupture in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that bleeds into your brain and causes pressure.
Right.
Because the skull is a closed.
Yeah, it's in there.
Cell. So you've only got so much room.
Right.
And then there's one called an ischemic stroke, and that's the kind I had, but I didn't have one with a clot.
Right.
Normally an ischemic stroke is caused by a clot that blocks off a vessel in the brain and you can't get blood past it. But mine was ischemic. It just wasn't caused by a clot, it was caused by swelling.
Man.
Yeah. It's been a wild ride.
It has.
And then I can walk and talk for the most part and get around.
You had to climb up 20 stairs to get in here.
Yep. It was easier this time because I weigh 60 pounds less.
Not carrying all that up the steps.
That's right.
Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that you can walk up steps, after you less than 3 months after a stroke, that's a big deal. That's a quick recovery.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I walked in for therapy the first time, and I shook the lady's hand, and she said, are you sure you're injured? I said, look, I don't need this kind of therapy.
Right.
I said, I can't pick up pills and dude, I've picked up so many grains of rice off a table trying to build up the fine motor control in this hand again. Yeah. But it came back.
Yeah.
So I'm really impressed. The human body is amazing to start with.
Oh, man.
God really knew what he was doing when he made it.
Yeah.
But my body, even though it's not the picture of health, I don't even want to look at it someday, so I don't think anybody else does.
Me too, yeah.
But it's done some great things this year.
Yeah.
So.
No, it is, man. Our meat vehicle is incredibly resilient. And it's just, I don't always look at that and I say that. I say that we're resilient and we recover and like you cut off half our liver, it like regenerates and maybe not half, but a good chunk, you know, and it regenerates and you get a new liver. Like our body does incredible things, but at the same time, life is like paper thin as far as people losing their life in different situations.
Well, what makes us, our soul, has such a tenuous grasp on this physical body that we have.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it over and over again that it's something that can just be that touch, that connection can be severed so easily.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, an injury or an illness, and what makes one person sick doesn't make another person sick.
Right.
And what kills one person doesn't kill somebody else. You know, it's just, it's a small injury to them and they overcome it.
Yeah.
And then you have people who have massive injuries and they overcome those anyway.
I mean, something like a stroke, right?
Or somebody like Travis Mills, who's multiple amputee from the war over in the sandbox. And he comes back and he's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, first he had to get over it. Right. That was part of his healing process. Yeah. But now he goes and he makes fun of himself and people laugh at him. And it's pretty awesome.
Rock and roll. Yeah, man. Yeah. If you can, I don't know, like your mindset's got a lot to do with it. And you know, it's not always up to us, regardless of how confident we feel in ourselves. But once you're there, I met a lady in Dallas, Texas, back in June of last year. Mm-hmm. We actually stayed at her house. My wife and kids went out, and my little brother was getting married, and we were able to. This lady moved out of her house for the week and let us all stay there. But she had just been diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer.
Oh, wow!
Right, so. First morning we're there, she comes back from CrossFit and like introduces herself, you know, and all this stuff. But she had decided that she wasn't going to be a sick person.
Right.
You know, so she went through some tough stuff and she had this rough, you know, chemo and all this stuff you have to go through when you have cancer. And she's beating it. She doesn't have cancer anymore and she's going to CrossFit.
Right.
You know, but the fact that she wasn't just going to lay down and be sick.
You have to make that decision very early on. And one of the things that I was saying to myself, I remember, is I'm not going to die today.
Yeah.
This is not my day.
Yeah.
Now, I know that I don't really have control over that.
But I was
determined that I was going to do everything that I could do to not give up today.
I don't think we can decide that we're going to keep living, you know. Well, maybe we can decide we're going to keep living. I think that people can absolutely make up their mind that they're going to die. Like, today's my day.
Right.
Or maybe tomorrow. I might have all the way to tomorrow. I've got this thing, whatever it is, and I don't want to fight it anymore. Like, I think people give up with terminal illnesses and these things. And, you know, God bless them. It is what it is. But I do think that the mindset works both ways, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I learned a lot of that don't give up from Milt Travis.
Man. I was hoping this would come back around.
We were talking about him before.
Yeah.
You know, I just have so much respect for him.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I remember, it's never give up.
Yeah.
Just don't give up. You have to stay after it. Don't give up on yourself.
Yeah.
And don't give up on God a lot too.
Yeah.
Milt's an awesome guy. I think the world of him. I got really fortunate to grow up with his kids.
Yeah.
And go to high school with them and kind of sit under his tutelage, even though I didn't play basketball.
Yeah, Milt was bigger than basketball. He was. He's still around. Milt's still with us. He is still bigger than basketball. But he's not just, you know, so many coaches out there that are only interested in
their sport and their athletes.
40-yard dash time, right. You know, like, never mind, he's not eating at home or whatever. Like, why didn't you catch that pass or make that shot? You know, that's not Milt. Milt could not care less if you were a basketball player or not. He was going to love you the same way.
And he did a lot of kids that way.
Yeah. And, for a long time.
For a long time, and made a huge impact on some people's life.
Yeah. Well, and even, you know, we're talking about the kids and the folks that he influenced, but like to watch Milt do these things, we got to work together on a professional level, and to watch Milt interact with kids taught me things as an adult about how to interact with kids. And the time I even spent with, I spent a lot of time with Jacob Travis, Milt's son, you know, and watching Jacob teach kids and adapt to these kids as far as what he's trying to
it's
do.
It's really weird to me that one coach made three coaches.
Man, right?
Yeah.
Just all the coaches. So I drove a bus one time, with Jacob's basketball team to the University of North Georgia, where Jacob's brother was a basketball coach.
Okay.
Of course, Milt's there, right? Because he's Milt, whatever. So we're at camp, and there's 50 basketball teams there. And at one point, I'm sitting like third row of the bleachers, and I look, and there's Josh and Jacob and Milt all together at the score table. And I said, hey, Coach Travis. And they all turn around. And, he's talking to me. He's talking to me. Yeah, whatever. So they're, you know, they're constantly ribbing each other.
They are.
But, man, it's obvious that they love each other, too. And it's and people. And they're just fantastic folks. And
they're good guys.
Yeah.
Sarah's okay, too. But
God bless Sarah. You know, imagine growing up in the house with those goons and you're Sarah, right?
Yeah. Like,
so Jacob, I'm telling Jacob, I think we told this story when he was on, calls Josh one time. We're in class, right? And he's talking about this relationship he's got with his brother where they were like, oh, you like your brother, you don't like your brother. And he's like, well, we love each other, but I'll call him right now and tell him he's an idiot or a moron or what they always call something, you know, each other is this name. So he picks up the phone, he calls Josh in the middle of class.
Right in the middle of class.
And he's like, hey, I just want to tell you you're an idiot. And he's like, thanks, you're an idiot too. Like, okay, hung on the phone. But it's fantastic. But the kids ate it up. And, you know, that gets them engaged and they love Jacob. And they'll run through a brick wall for him.
They will.
But it's the same thing. It's not just his basketball. There were zero basketball players in that class, you know, but they loved him like they were one of his players anyway.
It's because he loves them.
Yeah.
That says a lot about love.
Yeah. So I don't just dog on homeschool. I mean, on public school, Tango, okay? This is me bragging on my public school teaching friends. They do good. There's some good ones out there. Tango's always
has to catch his breath.
Beat me up because I homeschool my kids is what it is. It's a big hater.
It's not hate. It's
don't hate too much. I hate you.
The important part of homeschool. It's home.
The home?
Yeah.
Man, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know what we did for homeschool today? Drove an excavator.
Nice.
Dug a trench in the backyard. It was fantastic.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It's a good class.
Ayla got to learn how to do all that. Anyway, there's good folks at public school. The Travises are at least four of them.
Yes.
So, you know, they're out there. I don't know if Angie still teaches or not.
I don't know. I don't remember.
They just live around the corner from us.
You should go over and ask them.
I need to. Go over there and
just
hit them
check
up.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else you been up to? I mean, besides surviving strokes or whatever.
Yeah, it's not really that big a deal. we're organizing another men's worship for the middle of next month.
All right.
Around the 20th. Well, it's actually going to be on the 20th.
Is this going to be at the church?
Yeah, it's going to be at West Strong Baptist Church. In the warehouse.
We're
going to throw some pancakes down.
Yeah.
And they're going to worship.
So if you're listening to this in Cedar Falls, Iowa, Mr. Listener from Cedar Falls, Iowa, God bless you. Thank you. You got time to make travel plans to be here.
You can. There's several hotels here. I don't think any of them are going to be filled up.
Yeah, probably not.
There's nothing going on in town.
Yeah, nothing but your thing.
Yep, right. Yeah. I mean, and even if there's a tennis deal at one of the 53 tennis courts we have.
Stop it with the tennis courts. So what is the is there a theme for this? You guys just getting together to hang out, or
we're just going to spend some time praising God?
Okay,
I think and worshiping God and learning a little bit from His Word.
Yeah,
Bradley Smith is going to come speak. You know, we went to high school with him, and he's also
you did.
Well, I did.
Everybody thinks I went to your school. I did not.
Well, it's because we're so close now.
I guess so. Yeah,
it's amazing the way we run in the same circles.
Yeah,
in high school and never ran into each other.
Everybody thinks that I went to that school. And I did not, but all my buddies did because we lived, like I was saying, in the same neighborhood with all these guys. And
what school is this?
So Andrew went to Model High School, mm-hmm. and I taught at Model for 13 years. I attended Rome High School, our city school here.
So what's funny is the high school you went to is less than a mile from the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
But there's like dividing line, again, a divider line. It still city is. County.
Yeah, that still belongs to the county. It's a weird designation there.
It's an island of county in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then where the neighborhood you grew up in, Hattaram, is divided right down the middle.
Yeah.
So some of those went to Model and some went to Rome.
Yeah, I got invited to Model's 20-year class reunion.
Okay.
I did not go to school there.
That doesn't bother most people. You lived across the street. Come on.
Yeah, like bring it on in. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, yeah, your wife did. My wife did. My father-in-law taught there for way longer than I did. God bless him.
He was close friends with my dad.
You taught tango there.
I did teach tango there. Coached tango and wrestling. Taught tango out of wrestling.
Dang right you did.
He was in bad shape. I was like, hey, bro, maybe this is not for you.
That was after my elbow got snapped.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the beginning of the end, I think, of your wrestling career. The elbow dislocation. He's getting slammed, and he puts his hand down on the mat to catch himself.
Oh, no.
And when he does, this part of the bones goes up here. So his arm's like this long at this point. It's just this little hand there, and the
you were a T-Rex,
pretty much on the one side, and it made the most disgusting sound. The trainer walks onto the mat and goes like two on one, and pow, and just snaps it out.
Nice.
And expletives, just
he's
right out.
It was impressive, really. But I don't know. We live in a small town. We all our circles all overlap at some point. And,
well, I mean, it seems so much bigger than it is.
Yeah.
But it's really.
We're on the main drag here in town, you know, and it's four whole blocks long. You know? Like this is not the tallest building.
Did you know that the city of Rome has a law that buildings can only be so tall?
Yeah, because the fire truck ladders weren't that long.
They just bought a new one. I saw it today.
The law is so old that it was back in the day when the ladder would only reach up four floors or whatever it is, and. Silly stuff.
The new ladder goes much higher than that.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. You'll never catch me that high in the air.
Not me either.
Not my thing at all.
What? No.
Not everybody's X Games daredevil like you, man.
The things that God does that are smart.
Okay.
He gave us 2 feet because he intended us for us to stay on the ground.
Well, I always say God didn't make me any higher than 5'9" because like that was my limit.
Right.
You know, if I'd been 6 feet tall, I'd have just been terrified all the time. It's too high. What am I doing up here? Yeah. So you got your men's breakfast coming up, and can we roll out this other idea that you got?
Sure.
All right.
Let's talk about it. So I went to the Man Church Conference,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not specifically trying to like promote the Man Church.
Sure.
We are not
partners.
They do a great job over there. Rick Burgess is an amazing minister
mm-hmm.
and teacher. But I came home from that 2 years ago and just had a desire to get involved with men's ministry. And I think that we need to have a conference similar to, but not the same as what they do. So I'm really hoping that we can get that worked out and get those things start rolling.
All right.
Speakers like to be paid for their time.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big catching points right now.
Got to fund the thing.
You have to fund the thing.
Well, you got to have a facility and you got to fund the thing. Are we going to eat or not? And the, you know, you
oh, we're going to eat.
Right.
It's a Baptist church. We're going
to
eat.
We're all going to eat.
We're going to eat.
Yeah, I made that joke the other day, though, and my Presbyterian friend assured me that it wasn't just us.
It's not just Baptists?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, we do it, too. We got
to eat. Yeah, well, I mean, you have to eat.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat carbs, but you have to eat.
Man, maybe we shouldn't eat so many carbs.
You
guys going to serve like a carnivore buffet style? Like,
no, I mean, it's most people can eat pancakes. That's just me that can't.
I'm with you.
But I'm going to eat some eggs and some sausage.
This is taking the fun out of food for you.
No, it's
isn't
not.
It? Just it's new fantastic. Things?
Yeah, new things.
Yeah.
All the new things.
Okay.
I've replaced pasta with, you know, more vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Cut bread out. It was St. Patrick's Day recently.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to have a corned beef sandwich.
Right.
No, I didn't.
Ugh.
I had to have the corned beef, not the sandwich.
Yeah.
But I'm learning.
No green beer this year?
No green beer. Green whiskey, though.
Well, I mean, okay.
I mean, Just no beers.
This is the second episode in a row whiskey's come up.
There's a good reason for that.
Yeah. Probably a bad reason for it, too. But it is what it is.
Tango is again laughing hysterically behind
the
screen.
He just chuckles over there. You've done episodes with him here before. Yeah. Yeah.
He gets tickled.
He's gotten comfortable now. Last time you were on, he was still kind of new back there. Okay. But now he just laughs. And I used to be like, what, are you going to say something? And he's, no, I'm just laughing because you guys are dumb.
No, it's the fact that I pulled the Cheers picture earlier, too.
Oh, just now?
No, it's over there.
When we visited Cheers. And what did we say that was? 99, 2000?
Something like that.
Pre-9/11.
Yeah.
Man. Did you record all that earlier, that story?
Maybe.
Okay. That stuff does not need to go on the air. That was back in the day. It was historic, though. So Cheers, the cigar store Indian, the whole nine yards. Right. We had a trip to Boston for the marathon.
That's cool.
I wasn't running.
I would hope not, based on the story you told.
There's no running that day. Anyway.
Tripping, stumbling.
Yeah, lots of that. But it was Boston. You know,
How often do you go to Boston?
Yeah, I would like to go back to Boston now, because I remember when I was there being in town, and you know, like, we're on this block in this corner of town, and our name isn't Baptist, but that's what we are,
right?
And there's a Baptist church if you go, you know, three blocks this way, and there's another one if you go three blocks
and hit a Baptist church,
right? So there are Catholic churches like that up there, and I would like to go back with a hammer and some nails.
Denny Burnham's 95 Theses?
95, no. I would like to go back and engage in theological discussions with the various priests and elders of these places.
Isn't there a guy who does that?
Like specifically with Catholic people? Roman Catholics?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, there was a guy named Luther back in the 1500s.
Well, but there's a current guy who has a YouTube channel, and he goes to different denominations and has, like, he tours their facility. And records it, and as much as they'll let him.
Yeah.
And then he has a conversation with them about what they believe and how they believe, how it came to be.
Is this a thing? Because we got a project going right now that sounds a lot like this. 10-minute
Bible something?
I've never heard of this. Okay. Do you know about this?
I've heard something similar.
Yeah.
He's a Protestant, and he goes to different other Protestant faiths, and then he's been to Catholic faith.
Okay.
Orthodox, Jewish. I mean, he's been.
Yeah.
He's interviewed several Presbyterians and.
Huh.
Yeah.
Presbyterians, different religion. God bless. I'm just kidding. We just don't dunk our babies, or splash them either, for that matter. That's a cool premise, though.
Yeah.
I'd like to be part of. We're working on a project that's something along those lines, with our buddy Rob West.
Yeah, we like Rob.
Rob's cool. Rob's cool, so we'll see how that goes. I got to go watch this guy now, so we can do it different than.
I'll send you a link. I'll find him and send it to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, speaking of Rob,
he's
one of the things you've been doing lately on the podcast has been having new believers, or relatively new believers.
Yeah.
In addition to some more experienced believers, and that's been really awesome.
It's been cool, right?
Yeah. To listen to these guys who are new in their faith, and they're really excited and really motivated. Yeah. That's really, it just touches my heart.
I think it's cool. You know, we want to get all these different people out there and different stages in their walk and all this stuff. And so people who are watching or listening can relate. I think one of the cool things that PJ said was he's just now getting to the point where he's starting to understand what he doesn't know.
Right.
You know, like, there's this entire universe of knowledge that I'm yet to tap into. Except for the fact that, like, I've seen it and I know that it's enormous and I don't know any of it.
Right.
So, you know, but to have somebody on that can say that and go, well, I don't know anything. Well, who wants to come on the air and admit they don't know anything? He's a special guy.
He is. He's bold enough to know.
Yeah.
And to say that, look, I'm just learning. And that's amazing.
Yeah. To not know, or to understand how much you don't know.
Right.
That's a cool place to be. But the scripture's that way, like the Bible, the things of God. The more we learn, the more we realize we don't know. So, you know, I'm coming up on 3 years as a pastor, and I'm still, like, intimidated by the enormity of
right.
the meaning of the Word of God a lot of times. I should know more than this.
Well, we all should know.
Yeah, more. Right, yeah.
But that's the point, is that
but if I did, it go, still wouldn't be. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if we've studied this carefully for 50 years,
yeah.
You know, we've gone and earned master's degrees and doctoral degrees. And
right.
There's still so much more that you can learn.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you just haven't lived all the life you're going to live.
Right.
And you haven't experienced all that life has to offer. So there's a lot of things that we just don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's cool to have these different people in these different phases, like PJ and Rob, who are relatively new, like less than a year for both of them in the faith. And then, you know.
Well, you've got Coach, who's a fairly new believer too.
Coach.
Jason.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You haven't had him on yet, have you?
I have. I had him on. I think Jason was the last. He wasn't the last episode that was audio only, but he was like 101, 102.
Okay.
Before we started, 105 was our first video episode. But he's been on. And it was like, it was brand new for him.
You're right.
Like, he didn't even know what he didn't know yet. You know, it was one of those kind of things. But he'd been through some rock bottom stuff, man, and realized that, you know, like, I've tried everything else, and this is the only way. Like, it's got to work.
This is the only thing that's left.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where he's at. But, man, it's to talk to him now and, like, you know, he taught me something about scripture the other day.
Right.
That I'd never seen before.
Oh, this dude, when he goes after something, he is 100% after it.
Yeah, he's wide open. Anything he wants to do, he wants to be the best in the world at or know the most about or be the expert, you know. And we should all do that.
Right.
You know, whatever our field is. And,
oh, that's what scripture says. Whatever you do for the Lord.
That's it. That means doing it best we can. And
right.
It's a thin line that we walk, though. Like, that's the major, like, point of sin, like, understanding what sin is. Sin is not necessarily something, like, mean that I do to you. If I say some mean words to you, like, that's a sin.
I'm just going to blow them off because it's just you.
Right, of course. But anything that I do that's not perfect is a sin.
Right.
Holy smokes. Like, that's tough. But that's the understanding that we got to have so we can attack it the right way.
Correct.
And, you know, that's the first thing, I think, loving people like Christ loved the church and then attacking our sin and going from there. But
one of the really amazing things about Jesus is that if you actually meet Jesus, whether it's here and you're meeting Holy Spirit as part of God, you're going to walk away from that changed.
Yeah.
You might not want to change. You might not.
Yeah.
You know, you may be resistant to it, but you're going to walk away changed.
Yeah.
We don't all have the same kind of experience that Paul had.
Right.
Or Saul.
Saul to Paul,
became Paul. But we all have an experience. We all walk away from that changed.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a big deal.
It is. It's a huge deal.
And what's really cool is when somebody that you have been actively praying for.
Yeah.
You know, and you've been watching struggle, and then they just let go of the struggle and they say, okay, let's do this.
Well, that's it, right? Letting go of the struggle. And that's what somebody like Jason had to do. And not that Jason doesn't struggle anymore, but, you know, he's struggling. It's a different struggle now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that he's completely just like floundering out in the wind now and like, I hope something good happens, you know, because I'm trying really hard. Like, well, now you know who it is that makes the good stuff happen.
Right.
So you don't have to wait for it anymore. That's a cool place to be. Well, I think I like talking to these new believers because I forget those things sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember what it was like to be a new believer. Like, it's been so long.
It's been a long time,
And there are things that I take for granted now. But to hear PJ say, I don't know what I don't know. I'm like, wow. I also don't know what I don't know. You know, like, how much is there that I don't know out there? And, you know, even as a pastor. But that's why it's cool for me to talk. Because I could bring another pastor in. And we could talk about pastor stuff and things that we know and agree on and all, you know, whatever. But these new people, that makes it cool.
And I like the fact that you have more experienced believers come in too.
Yeah.
And I'm not just me, but you had somebody like James Banning come in.
Yeah.
Who else have you had?
Oh, man. Lots of folks.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's a lot of, but there's always something to learn from somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you can take something from a new believer or an experienced believer and a lot of times apply it to your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, man. We want to tell people's story. And especially as it pertains to their faith and their walk. And, you know, we've had all kinds of people on, like literally all kinds of people. We had coaches and we had a hypnotist on one time, you know, like all kinds of stuff. One. Yeah, it's really cool. Dr. Shane Clements. But just to get all these walks of life in here, and have them tell their story and hope mm-hmm. that the idea is that there's somebody out there that will hear that and go, well, that's me too. Kind of like we were talking about with the new believer thing. But like, that's me. I can relate to that. I'm also a football coach or a paramedic or, you know, whatever. And that this guy is doing some of the same things I do. And I hear him say some of the same words that I say. And it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that relates to people. Because I don't go, like, after the culture from the pulpit. Like, that's not – we just preach the Bible. Like, that's good enough. But this is cultural engagement. It's a little different thing.
Right.
Not exactly giving cultural engagement there, but just – it's a little more of an open window. Because I'm going to preach for 20 or 30 minutes, but we might be here for 2 hours.
Right.
You know, and talking about all kinds of stuff.
You know, people say that – they don't have a major, I said, you know, maybe we don't all have a major conversion experience.
Right.
Maybe God just takes his time changing us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know this necessarily about me, but there's certain things that I still struggle with.
Yeah.
On the regular.
Yeah.
You know, I fight with sin. I fight with my sin nature. I know what it is. And God and I deal with it I try.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like we said, do the best you can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm going to fail.
Yeah,
but I learn from that, and I move forward.
Well, you're killing your sin, or you're working to at least,
right.
And that's the idea. It's not that we'll never sin again, but it's that we fight against it every day.
Right. It's almost like killing me.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of killing yourself every day.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful with the way you say that. I've said that to you before.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before, and like, I killed myself. Well, like. No, but yeah, we die daily is what.
So I saw a TikTok earlier today. What?
and the guy basically back there wrestling with himself right now.
He says this old man came up to him. He's out eating at a restaurant with his son.
Mm-hmm.
And this man comes up and says, "Hey, look, enjoy this because when he turns 7, the 6-year-old will be gone."
Mm.
And the concept is that every day, the man you were today, the person you were today, is gone. Should be gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you've been stuck in a rut for 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years, you know, maybe it's time to evaluate things because the person you were 6 years ago should not be the same person you are today.
Yeah.
You should have learned something. Yeah. You should have. Well, made a change.
In theory, the person you were yesterday
right.
shouldn't be who you are. You talk about the difference between 6 and 7, it's one day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, you know, the grand scheme of things, one day you're 6, the next day you're 7. Or you're 46, and then you're 40, you know, 47. And, you know, but life is made up of one days at a time,
mm-hmm.
and we waste them or we make something out of them.
Right.
This is the second. This keeps happening to me, man. I keep having these conversations 3 or 4 times in the same day. I had this conversation on the phone earlier today with a guy named Ray Mitchell up in Tryon.
Maybe you're supposed to listen to it.
I guess so, man. I guess so. We had both been truckers, and he was talking about the amount of time that we missed. You know, I wasn't married or anything at the time, didn't have kids. So, like, I didn't miss a ton of stuff as far as, except for sleep.
Mm.
But he's like,
you missed a lot of that.
Yeah, right, a ton of sleep. But he's missing birthdays and. Mm-hmm. Family reunions and all this stuff because he's driving his truck and sending the money home and you know what are we losing though? We're losing that time,
right?
So you said earlier the most important aspect of homeschooling is home. So we get an extra 15,000 hours with our kids.
That's cool
because they're at home with mom and I'm there a lot of days because I get to work from home and some days I work from the church. But am I stepping on wires again?
Like gesture.
We're good. But like I was at home all day today and I'll be there again tomorrow
right.
and I'll probably be here in the office the rest of the week. But you know, you don't get time back. They're not making more of it.
No, there's a finite amount of time. Yeah. And the thing with it is once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
We can't replay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I remember learning that in second grade. Miss Janet Morris at North Heights Elementary used to talk mm-hmm. about that. Your time is gone. It's just gone.
Right.
And you can spend it doing what you're supposed to do and improving yourself and getting better, or you can just waste it and have nothing to show for it. Man, at, you know, 7 years old, I was like.
And that is a deep conversation for a 7-year-old.
Yeah. But I still hear her words in my head now at 45, you know. So I don't know. That's the second time this episode, Tango, I've said good things about public school teachers. Thank you. But it's important to listen to those things, and I'm glad that I appreciated that in that moment.
Right.
You know, at 7 years old, and I was like, well, Miss Morris is right. You know, and that's kind of a big deal. Yeah, yeah. But it's better than looking back and being like, how much time I wasted.
Right.
That's tough because it ain't coming back.
Nope.
So, you know, but we have more time. We're not getting new time, but we're getting the time that we were already given.
We just have the time we're allotted.
Yeah.
Make the best of it.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing now, right? After we've recovered from our stroke and.
Yep. Losing weight. Loving my family.
Yeah.
Spending a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
Getting back to work. It's going to be a lot of fun riding the ambulance again.
Riding the ambulance. So do you actually drive the ambulance or are you the guy in
sometimes.
The
back? Yeah. The company I work for now, they like for their EMTs to get experience riding with patients.
Right.
So unless it's something that I have to, that a paramedic has to do, because there's certain things EMTs can't do that paramedics can.
Right.
So if it's a cardiac patient, I'm going to ride with that patient to the hospital. If I have an EMT partner. So, and then sometimes there's like low acuity patients. Maybe they stub their toe at 2 o'clock in the morning.
They're looking for a taxi ride.
And they want to go to the hospital. So my partner can usually ride with that.
Yeah.
You know, lower acuity stuff. But we try and make it as even as possible because this company, is running between 10, it's usually averaging about 10 calls per shift per truck.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot in this county.
So you do a 12-hour shift?
24s.
24, okay. Yeah, I guess so. But still, like 10 shifts, I mean 10 calls, you got to sleep sometime, you got to eat sometime.
The eating is probably more important than the sleeping.
Yeah.
But the sleeping is also important.
Sleeping's a big deal,
It's kind of a big deal. But yeah, I mean it's... We do have a station, and once your paperwork's done, you can go back and catch a nap.
Yeah.
They really don't like for you to let your paperwork pile up.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't either. You get the last 30 minutes of your shift, and all you got left is paperwork.
And then you can still end up catching a call in the last 30
minutes.
Right,
yeah.
You know, then you've got more paperwork.
Because you've wasted time, right? Yeah.
You didn't manage your time effectively.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that.
I like to think I've improved at that since becoming a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sunday comes every week.
It does.
You know, and if I haven't prepared, like, it's coming anyway, and people expect me to say things, and there's some judgment attached to that,
right?
That I don't need. So, yeah, I'm like, well, if it's, you know, it's Monday, so I've got a few days. Well, no, let's do it right now.
Yeah.
Let's make time today.
Let's go ahead and take care of this.
Yeah.
I need to plan this sermon.
I'm not a good enough speaker that I can... like
do it impromptu,
lag like that. Yeah,
yeah.
And you shouldn't. Even the best speakers shouldn't impromptu sermons. Like that's tough. Maybe it's when you've preached before or a subject you're familiar with, and you can just roll one out. You got to have a sermon ready at all times. But like, you shouldn't be winging it.
Right.
It should be something that you know. You know.
You got to have something prepared, even if it's prepared a long time ago.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've got. I don't know, somebody called me tonight, and they were like, we need a sermon in 30 minutes. Okay, we can make that happen. But, like, it's something that I've been in a million times. Probably sermons I've actually preached before. But, you know.
It'll all come back to you.
It does. But, you know, it's about being faithful.
Yeah.
God gives us this time. He gives us this opportunity, and it's about them coming together. And
one of the things Jared does, he always has us, as a congregation, pray that God will move him out of the way and then deliver the message that he has for each of us.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, it's.
Well, that's the tough part about being a pastor, right? I don't want anybody to remember me.
Right.
You know, that's hard. It'd be cool if people remembered me, but at the same time, that's not the important thing here.
Right.
You know.
You have to be really selfless to do that.
Yeah, it's hard. It is.
Oh, I'm sure.
But that's the call, right? We knew that and we signed up for it.
Yeah.
Or we should. There's some guys that don't, but. You know.
I mean, I can name names if you want me to.
I mean, we've named names before.
It's not going to change them.
No,
that's
going
to take a huge act of God, I think.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, we got to pray for those knuckleheads, too. You know? They need Jesus.
They really do.
They think they have him. They've got one that they made that looks a lot like them. And, you know.
Yeah.
We got into this some in the last episode, and making a God in our own image or a Jesus that we really like, and he likes me, and, you know, all that good stuff. But that ain't what it's about.
No.
It ain't about us at all.
No.
It's tough. But that's our men's conference theme,
that
right?
That is.
Ain't about you, man.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
Hey, that might stick.
Mm-hmm. I like...
I'd like... Not to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I would really like for all the churches in Floyd County, in this county, to come together. I want to fill up a sanctuary with men. I want to fill up the forum with men. I don't even care if it's all men from this county. I'd like this county to show out.
Sure.
But I'd
we've got, I don't know how many hundreds of churches we have. We talked about what a small town this is. But we've got...
I know there are 75 Baptist churches in this county.
There's, well, somebody had this number on the show one time, the Baptist churches. Do you remember?
Not offhand.
I want to say it was like 100, 105. Like, it's a lot.
It's a lot more than, yeah.
But, you know, we got the Floyd County, like, Baptist Association.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got 115 independent Baptist churches. And, you know, then that's just our Baptists. That's not even the Methodists and the Presbyterians and all the other, you know,
non-denominational.
God bless them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be cool, man, to see that come together. It stinks that we don't get together because there are a few things that we disagree on.
Right.
Like, what is the, what are we doing here? You know, like,
well, we're not, one of the guys in my small group, he's Catholic.
Mm.
He grew up Catholic. He still practices. He's practicing Catholic.
Yeah.
But his wife is a Baptist.
Okay.
So they go to, they come to our church and they go to St. Mary's on the same Sunday. So they're actually on a part of our welcome team.
Well, we'll pray for him that he finds Jesus. Well,
he's got Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is he still going up there?
I don't know. But I can tell you that he's one of the most, like, evangelical. Mm-hmm. He lives the faith.
Yeah.
And it to have a conversation with him, if you didn't know that he was Catholic, you probably wouldn't pick up on it.
You wouldn't know that he was. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's more, he's just a child of God.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Well, I firmly believe there are Roman Catholic people who we'll see in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's probably not because they, you know, were super Catholics. It was because they were like Catholic light, but whatever. Right. But yeah, no, they are. They are. And they're probably Catholics who might or might not think they'll see me in heaven too, and that's fine. You know, but yeah, it's there's good Catholic folks that I believe we'll see there, and
right.
Maybe your friend's one of them. I like to think so.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah,
but again, I don't get to make that choice.
Yeah, so. Like, that's not up to us, and that's cool. That's a good thing. Yeah. It's not up to us.
It probably wouldn't be good if it were up to me.
No, it wouldn't. But it takes the pressure off of us in evangelism too,
right?
Response is not up to me. I just got to preach.
I just got to tell you.
Yeah.
Hey.
So that's what we're going to do, right, with our men's deal.
That is the plan. I'm more interested in presenting or having people present, teach about what faithful men look like so that men who are already faithful can step into the roles of being faithful men.
That's the idea.
As more so than reaching out to non-believers.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
My heart is for teaching the men who already believe.
Well, that's you don't have a conference for non-believers.
Right.
You know, the conference is about equipping and empowering and sending people out. And that's what church is about, too, for that matter. Church is not... You get mad when I say church is not for lost people. Like, it's not. It's for us to come together and strengthen each other and, you know, get you fired up so you can go out and share the gospel, and you get me fired up so I can go out and do the same.
Right.
Lost people come in, that's fine. You know, it is what it is. But, like, it's not – it's for us
right.
to go out. And it's – there's not a verse in the Bible that says
– teach us what how to reach other people.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a verse in the Bible that says open the doors and hope they show up. Like, it's that's not
– that's not in there.
Bring them to church and let the pastor get them saved. Like,
oh, wait, that's not how that works?
Not at all. Please don't do that to your pastor. We talked. I know that guy, and he – doesn't appreciate that either. I promise. I don't. I always tell my people, like, don't bring your lost friends up here and expect me to get them saved. You know, air quotes. Like, that's not how that works at all. share the gospel. No,
definitely you know. Bring your lost friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't expect me
right.
to.
Right. I don't have a magic wand up here.
They're your friends. You should be the one doing that.
Man, yeah. Somebody asked me not long ago what I thought about. What was the best outreach tool or what? I was like, just is another pastor. Just tell your people. Talk to the people they already know.
Right.
That aren't going to church or don't know the Lord or whatever. Like, that's an easy connection. Mm-hmm. I already know you. I don't have to go knock on some rando's door and like have this weird, awkward conversation. Before we get to the awkward conversation, you know, like this.
Hey, I know I don't know you, but can I get to know you?
Yeah. Well, by the way, you're going to hell without Jesus. Like, okay. Might have been better if I knew you before we got that far, you know. That's tough. And that's not, you know, we've been knocking on doors forever, I guess. As long as there's been a church, there's been people knocking on doors. But, you know, so do that, too.
I don't think there were.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Early on, I think they were just doing the best they can to live. To learn from Jesus and live those things out.
Yeah, if you just live it out, that's kind of the thing, right? You live it out and people, it see creates opportunities.
Right.
Not the preach the gospel when necessary, use words. I can't stand that. Like, use words. It's necessary.
Right, you have to talk to people.
But your life ought to show it and create these opportunities for people to ask you questions or, hey, you're a little different. You don't talk like the rest of the guys.
Right.
You know. Well, yeah, and here's why. So take advantage of those opportunities. But those are the things that we learn in church.
Yeah.
And then they go out and, you know, or should at least. But, you know, big men's conference, we'll fire each other up. And
That is the plan. That's what we hope to have happen. And I don't, like, even though we're going to invite Burgess Ministries to come, I don't know if I'm going to do like a huge merch area. And, We might have a T-shirt for the conference. I don't know.
Right.
Dudes like T-shirts, so whatever.
Dudes like T-shirts.
Yeah.
If you throw in a T-shirt, like, you get people to sign up for a T-shirt that wouldn't sign up otherwise.
Right.
So there's some value there. You got a timeline, like, when you might think you want to do this?
Maybe the next 12 months.
Okay.
Give us some time to plan.
Yeah.
Get a budget put together and who we can afford to invite to come speak.
Yeah.
So,
I got you.
Who can we afford? Yeah.
We can afford people that speak for free.
Well, we're going to have some of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's like, if you're going to have a worship music time, you've got to have a band.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a band, you might want to consider paying those guys something for their time.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think that people who work in ministry full time should not be unpaid. I think if that's what you're doing for a living, then you should be paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture also says,
don't muzzle the ox while he's treading his grain.
Right.
Yeah.
That we should be paying our pastors and our worship leaders.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to do all that. And I'm reaching out to some people who have done this before so that I don't have to reinvent the wheel necessarily.
Right.
I'm not that kind of idiot. To try and start this from the very
different
beginning.
Different variety,
right? I know that there's a lot of stuff I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people build their budget and then invite people to speak that'll fit in their budget. Some people invite people to speak and then build a budget.
Trusting God, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to invite this high-dollar speaker.
And then it's...
Trust God that he's going to fit the bill.
Right. Yeah. Well, then you get into having to sell tickets and how much, you know, how much... Do I have to make off tickets and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know,
I've been to conferences that I had to pay for and the place was full.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been to free conferences where it was me and like five other people, you know.
Well, I think once you invest some money in it, you have a little bit more literal buy-in.
Yeah.
And so you're going to show up because you bought a ticket.
It's just a little epiphany I had just now.
Yeah.
But to think about it, the event that I paid for was way, like the quality was better.
Right.
The speakers, like even the molecular level, the speakers were more knowledgeable. They were better, you know.
Right.
Okay. You get what you pay for.
I will tell you that man church conference I went to, there was a guy, and I cannot remember his name, but he preached from Romans.
Yeah.
And he never, like, he had his thumb in his Bible, and you could tell it was in Romans, okay, but never opened it. He recited it, and I'm following along in mine.
Yeah.
And he is word for word.
Word for word. That's being the expert in the room, right?
Yeah, he was the scriptural guy.
There you go. I remember when you went to that thing and you were fired up, and I think that's when you first had the idea for this. And you were like, we got to do that in Rome. Okay, cool. Let's do it. So let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll make some things happen. Get us a venue. And
I've got some ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that we'll talk about some of that stuff off.
Yeah,
off
for later. Sure, yeah. For sure. With that said, where are we at time-wise?
About an hour six.
Hour six. Pretty good at that, right? Good deal.
We have good conversations.
We do, man. Yeah. We do. It's a good spot to jump off.
We'll love you.
But I love you, man. I'm glad that you're...
That wasn't really for you, but I do love you.
No. I need to tell you that because I'm glad you're alive and you're still here with us and you're still who you were before.
Right.
Bounce back. Improving by the day.
Daily.
Good deal, man. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again sometime.
Thanks for coming in, Tango.
God bless you guys. We love you. See you next time. I wasn't ready for that. I've forgotten that I did that.
Hey, the red light's still on.
Yeah, that's the idea. Okay. Yeah, that was the concern at the time. Like, is the cop going to chase us if we run? Because it really is 1:30 in the morning and we're on Broad Street for no good reason at all. Completely stone sober and all that good stuff because, you know, but foot chases. Back in my wild days, no sound checks or anything. We're just rolling. I can't stand that song, by the way. Not a Deftones fan at all. Never have been.